This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. It's been an environmental question for years. What to do with hog waste in North Carolina? The state is home to nearly 9 million hogs, which produce massive amounts of waste. Some of it goes back on the farms in eastern North Carolina as fertilizer, but a lot of it just gets stored into open-air lagoons, which have been known to contaminate groundwater, and they do produce a putrid smell for nearby homes. A new technology exists to convert the waste into energy, but it is not affordable to most hog farmers. Sarah Peach examines possible solutions to the hog waste problem in her newest article for National Geographic. Sarah's a lecturer at UNC Chapel Hill School of Journalism and Mass Communications and associate director for the Reese News Lab, and she joins us now on The State of Things. Sarah, welcome to The State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us now what farmers do with all of that. I think just in one five-county area in eastern North Carolina, 15.5 million tons of hog waste. What do they do with it all?
Yeah, so the typical thing that happens in North Carolina is this system called the lagoon and spray field system. And so in essence, the hogs go to the bathroom, and all of that waste gets flushed or flows into this open pit that's called a lagoon. So it's sort of sitting out there in the ground. And so as the lagoon starts to fill up, the farmer then will spray some of the liquid material onto a field nearby.
All right, so that's some of it, but they can't possibly use all of that, right? So a lot of it just sits there in those lagoons. And as it is, that presents some environmental potential problems for us. Is that right?
Yeah, so what people tend to be concerned about, as I learned when I was reporting the story, is pollution to our air and pollution to the water. And so, you know, North Carolina does have regulations for this, but a lot of scientists are pretty concerned about what this is doing to our water in particular. And there is this mounting evidence that not all of that waste that gets sprayed onto the fields stays on those fields. So, you know, this waste is really good fertilizer in a lot of ways. The plants can absorb it. It helps them grow. But we just have so much waste that study after study has suggested that when it rains or if we have a major event like a hurricane, some of that is getting into our water.
And so what about regulation now? There are regulations around this. How does it work? How is it regulated? And you know, how strict is the enforcement?
Sure. Yeah. So what I learned when I was reporting this story for National Geographic was that North Carolina is actually, it seems like we're doing a better job than in the early 1990s when these hog operations weren't really regulated at all. And in many states, they're still not regulated. So in a certain sense, we're ahead of the curve. What folks at our Department of Environment and Natural Resources told me was that, you know, if I'm a hog farmer, I have to apply for the state to get a permit, and then I'll get inspected once a year or maybe more if there are problems. The trouble, what I heard from sources, is that, you know, there are certain rules that hog farmers are supposed to follow. And what environmentalists told me is that the hog operations aren't always following those rules. Some of them took me up in a plane to fly over eastern North Carolina. And while I was on the plane for just a couple hours with these folks, I saw in a violation there was someone spraying when he shouldn't have been. And the environmentalists said that this is routine. Oftentimes when they go up in a plane looking for violations, they see them.
And of course, this is a function of our industrial form of agriculture, the fact that we have all of these animals in a concentrated area. We're stuck with industrial agriculture. It could appear cheap at the checkout counter, but in fact, these are the environmental costs that never get tacked on to your bill, and part of the problem that we're sort of grappling with as we also cope with an industry, because it generates a lot of income in North Carolina, doesn't it?
It does. It was about $2.9 billion in sales of hogs and pigs last year, actually in 2012. So that's $2.9 billion. That's nothing to shrug at. And, you know, people like you and me, we benefit by being able to go to the grocery store and have pork that's pretty cheap. And, you know, everyone in North Carolina loves pork. It's a big part of our culture. But I think the question that I'm raising in my story is, you know, what are the hidden costs to our air and to our water, and who is it that's paying those costs?
Right, and we all pay those costs. And as you say, they don't show up on the price tag necessarily. So there is this cost-benefit rate. You have to take all of this into account. So all of that brings us now to the anaerobic digester, which is one possible solution to all of this. Tell us about it.
Sure. Yeah. So when I was doing the story, I had the chance to go and see a farm in Lillington, North Carolina, called Butler Farms. So that's operated by a farmer named Tom Butler. And what he told me is that when he started farming, he never knew about the environmental effects, but he heard complaints from his neighbors, and he promised them, you know, I'm going to try to clean this up if I can. So what he's done is, first of all, he's put some plastic coverings over his lagoons so that they're less smelly and they don't contaminate rainwater. And the other thing he has done is he has this thing, as you mentioned, it's called an anaerobic digester. And the way it works is the poop flows into the digester and it gets decomposed there by bacteria that generate methane. Methane is a gas. And one of the things about methane is that you can burn it. So what he's doing is burning the methane that comes from this hog waste and turning it into electricity.
So that's pretty good. It sounds like the ultimate in making lemonade, though you may never drink lemonade again now that I've said it. So we can generate electricity from this. That sounds like not a bad idea, but I guess the costs and the benefits don't really pan out too well in this case. How much does it cost to make this, and how much can he generate in electricity?
Right. So, well, on the day that I visited the farm, based on the amount of electricity that the farm was generating, what I calculated, it's about enough for 90 refrigerators. So this poop was making enough electricity for 90 refrigerators. And Tom Butler paid more than $1 million to set this up. He did get some grants that covered a lot of that, but I think your average hog farmer is not going to want to just shell out more than $1 million to set up this kind of system.
We're talking about what to do with hog waste today on The State of Things. My guest, Sarah Peach, a lecturer at UNC Chapel Hill, who has just written an article for National Geographic. And you also talked to Tom Butler about that, about the sort of cost benefit. I think the whole thing was like $1 million. Okay, $750,000 in grants, still out of his pocket, $250,000. It takes a lot of light bulbs to make that up. And here's what he had to say about that.
Most of them think it's foolishness. Not in a bad way, but it's just will not ever work. And so far, they're right. What drives me is, at the end of the day, to tell the industry it can be done. It can be done cheap enough that an average producer can do it. To be sustainable, we have to have permission to operate in a community. And to have that permission, we need to do the right environmental thing.
Of course, he's talking about what his neighbors thought of this investment initially, and he's somebody who's taking it on himself. Be able to do this as a community, what does he mean? Can he sell this electricity?
He can, and he's also using it to keep for operations on the hog farm itself.
So right now he's using it for himself, and again, the payout on that is years and years and years. Not anything that looks attractive to any kind of investor. But why can't he sell it to other people if he had? Can he generate enough, and would that make sense, and would that offset some of this cost if he were able to sell it?
Yeah, sure. So he actually is selling it to a local electricity co-op. But he had to pay, I think he's told me something like $20,000 just to have the line come out to his farm so that he could sell that electricity back. So what he said is, you know, he is sort of one of the first runs at this. He's the Model T, and we haven't gotten to the hybrid car yet. And But he thinks that this can be done more efficiently and the price will come down.
So part of it is maybe changes in technology that could bring the price down. What about in regulation? Would it make it anything out there that might make it easier for people like him to sell electricity so that, again, you could offset the cost, or is that not part of this equation?
Yeah, actually, we have a law in place in North Carolina right now that requires utilities to purchase electricity made from hog waste. And so I think one of Tom Butler's fears, and for the fear of other folks who are interested in this, is that the state could take away that incentive. Mm.
Also, you know, there's no sort of cost without a benefit and benefit without a cost. Methane does produce CO2, which is a greenhouse gas. Is it the same as coal, for instance, in terms of energy production?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in terms of climate change, which I think is what you're asking, methane is a very potent greenhouse gas. So it's about four times as potent as carbon dioxide, which is the other greenhouse gas that we worry about. But hog farms in general, if we let them go, if the hog waste is just sitting in the lagoon, that's going to produce methane. So actually burning the methane and turning it into carbon dioxide is arguably better for the climate.
All right. Well, there's a lot of potential there, and certainly an enlightening piece. Thank you so much, Sarah, for talking about it.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Peach, lecturer at UNC Chapel Hill School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Her latest article for National Geographic examines what to do with hog waste in North Carolina. Just ahead, North Carolina immigration attorneys get a look inside the Artesia Detention Center in New Mexico. You'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.